has come to you. My goodness and grace is in your midst. Receive of my goodness. Receive of my grace. For with grace you will find the rich treasure. You will find the good things that I want to do in you and through you and for you. Good things that have been planned before the foundation of this world. Good works for you to work in. Oh, I want you to experience my goodness tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Talking about how faith shapes your life. All right? And we started this last week. And did you know that faith releases the power of God? It pleases God. And by faith, you can live. By faith, you're justified. By faith, you can walk. And by faith, you love. Right? Love doesn't work apart, or faith doesn't work apart from love. And you are what you believe. You can do what you believe you can do. You can have what you believe you can have. And faith shapes your life. So let me ask you this question. What kind of shape is your faith in? Is your faith strong, powerful, and effective, providing you with a sure and steadfast foundation on which you can build your life? Or is your faith weak, anemic, feeble, and or ineffective, leaving you more questions than answers about your circumstances? Is your faith big, mountain moving, and able to handle what comes your way? Or is your faith weak or little, weakened at trouble, and unstable in dealing with life circumstances? You know, Jesus witnessed great faith and he witnessed little faith. And but you know, we're going to talk about how faith shapes your life. Did you know that faith has a language? There's a way that faith speaks. All right, I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to begin here tonight and then touch on a few things. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 13 and 14. It says this in verse 13, we, having the same spirit of faith, did you know that you have the same spirit of faith as the patriarchs that have gone on before us? Did you know that you have the same faith that Abraham had? You have the same faith that Daniel had. You have the same faith that Esther had and Ruth had. You know, you got to touch both men and women, right? You have the same spirit of faith. Well, how does that spirit of faith translate into practical application? It goes on to say, according as it is written. You have to have faith in what's written, all right? The word of God is the source of faith. Faith comes by what? Hearing what? The word of God, all right? And so, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed. Right? How many believe what Jesus said? You believe what's written in this book, right? Does this book lie? Nope. You know, like we teach in our release time, we teach the kids the Bible is all true. All right? Everything that is recorded in here is true. Okay? As it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. So, faith speaks the language of the Word of God. All right? It has a language. And God's given us a manual, a faith manual, right? And you can learn how to speak faith right here. You can speak the same kind of faith that God spoke when he created this world. Did you know that by faith this world was framed? Okay? So, go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. How many know David showed his faith with words when he confronted Goliath, didn't he? Before he took off his head, before he armed his sling, he spoke some things to Goliath, right? And there was an exchange of words. And before David cut the head off the giant, he won the war of words. And how many know when you face a giant, guess what? We're all going to face a giant. We all have giants that we have to deal with in life, right? And the best way to deal with giants is with the Word of God. Okay? Second Timothy chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Notice it says, hold fast the form or the pattern of sound words. Did you know that faith speaks sound words? A sound word is a positive, solid word, right? Now, it's just as easy to speak the negative as it is the positive. I mean, it doesn't take any extra effort to speak what's positive versus what's negative, okay? Now, he said, hold fast the form of sound words which you have heard of me. Who is the me that he's referring to? He's referring to Paul. And what did Paul write? He wrote half the New Testament, right? So he's referring to holding fast the form of sound words that you heard from me. He's talking to Timothy. He's talking to his son in the faith. Okay? He said, hold fast the form of sound words which you have heard of me in faith and love which is in Jesus Christ. So, how faith shapes your life, faith shapes your words. And if you want to change your circumstances, change your words. If you want to see different results, speak different words. Okay? Because the word is the language of faith. And verse 14 says, that good thing which was committed unto you, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwells in us. All right, so we're supposed to keep this. All right, we're supposed to keep the pattern or the form of sound words. And you know what another thing does, how faith shapes your life? Did you know that faith clears your conscience? Every one of us has a conscience, right? When you were younger and you saw the fresh baked cookies that your mom made and she put them in the cookie jar and she said, now, Doug, don't touch these cookies. These are for a special kid. But you know what? They smelled so good. And their aroma just filled the kitchen, and you just had to take one, right? But all the while, were you going to take that cookie? Something on the inside of you was saying, don't do it. Don't take that cookie. Well, that something on the inside of us is our conscience. Our conscience is the voice of the Spirit. You know, our conscience tries to warn us to keep us out of trouble. But sometimes we don't listen to it, do we? We don't listen to the conscience and we get in trouble. Okay? Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 19. Notice what he says to Timothy in his encouragement. He said, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. How many know if you want to obey your conscience, it's going to take faith, right? When you hear your conscience doesn't necessarily have a loud voice. It doesn't have a megaphone. It doesn't have a microphone. It doesn't have an amplifier, but it's on the inside, but it does have a voice. It speaks. And Paul is telling Timothy here, holding faith and a good conscience. Did you know that faith and a good conscience work together? And faith shapes your conscience. Because part of operating in faith is obedience, isn't it? When the Lord tells you something, we are supposed to obey. We're supposed to do what he says. And when we don't do what he says, when we don't obey, it weakens our faith. Do you ever have that effect where your faith was weakened because of disobedience? See, if you don't trust what God says, then it's going to be harder to do what God says. So we got to hold faith and a good conscience. What kind of conscience? A good conscience. Okay, notice, and Paul refers to some people, some having put away. They put away hearing their conscience. You know, the longer you go without listening to your conscience, the harder it is to hear it. It becomes harder and harder to hear that voice on the inside of you. You become numb, or you become dull. Did you know that people are more likely to hurt themselves with a dull knife versus a sharp knife? Because they apply more pressure to a dull knife, right? And you're not a dull knife. You want to be sharp. And notice he goes on to say in the next verse, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Apparently, Alexander and Hymenaeus, they stopped listening to their conscience. They stopped holding faith and a good conscience. And notice they ended up shipwrecked. You know, if you don't listen to your conscience, if you don't let faith shape your conscience, you will end up, shipwreck is not good. A shipwreck means you crash into something that you didn't know was there. Right? Have you ever heard the phrase hit rock bottom? You know, it's sad, but some people have to hit rock bottom before they have a desire to come up. You know, the prodigal son. He left his father, right? He said, give me what's mine, and I'm going to take it, and I'm going to go. And he went and spent his inheritance on riotous living, right? He did what he wanted to do, went where he wanted to go. And as long as he had money, he had friends. But there came a point in time when his money ran out. And I mean, you can't get much lower for a Jewish boy than the pig pen. But you know what? The Bible says that a change took place in him while he was in the pig pen. He came to himself. So what did he do? He went back to the Father. You know, it took faith to go back to the Father. And while he was in the pig pen, it was like he was shipwrecked. But when he came to himself, he received a life preserver and was able to come back to the Father. Okay? Go to verses 5-7. He said, now the end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Unfeigned, it means like untarnished or pure. How many know if you want to keep your faith pure, you got to keep your conscience pure, right? See, your conscience really reveals the motive of the heart. Now, when God wants to use people, he looks to the heart of a person. When he wanted to get a king for Israel, he looked at one thing. He looked at the heart. He looks at what no one else can see or what no one else knows. But God looks to the heart. And here, Paul's encouraging Timothy, the end of the commandment is love or charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved, having turned aside unto vain. Did you know that you can leave faith? We just saw two examples of people who left, they stopped believing God. If you can believe God, then it's just, you can easily stop believing God. How many know once you believe God once, you got to continue to believe him? Faith is an ongoing journey. We touched on that last week. Okay? But you see how these work together? A pure heart, a good conscience, and unfeigned faith. A pure heart is an ingredient of strong faith. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Another way that faith shapes your life is faith works by love. It's your love for God and your love for people. You know, if you mistreat people, then it becomes harder to operate in faith. It becomes harder to believe God for things, because whose image are people made in? They're made in God's image and in his likeness. And Jesus even brought this out further. He was telling his disciples, he said, when you do this to the least of them, you do it unto who? Me. We know when Jesus encountered Paul on the road to Damascus, the first thing he said to Paul is, Paul, why are you persecuting me? But who was Paul persecuting? He was persecuting people, right? But apparently, what Paul was doing to people, the Lord took personal. And how we treat people is going to affect our faith, positive or negative. 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak, verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, boy, you must be really spiritual, all right? Speak in tongues. You know, we believe in speaking in tongues, and of men and of angels, but you have not love. All you're just like a sounding brass, an annoying loud sound, okay? Or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and although I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but and have not love, I am nothing. Whoa. So that's telling us that God puts a greater value on love. And love, you've got to become a person who's in love with God and in love with people. Yeah, but you don't know what those people did to me. Maybe I don't know what they've done to you, but I know who they're made in. And I know that people aren't the problem. It's the spirit that are using the people that's the problem. Do you remember when Jesus was telling his disciples how he was going to die and he was going to suffer? And Peter rose up and he said, Master, I'm not going to let that happen to you. What did Jesus say to him? Get thee what? Behind me, Satan. But Peter was the one who was talking, right? At that moment, Peter was yielding to Satan, but he didn't know that. And Jesus dealt with it, okay? And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. It amazes me how people can do such good things without love. But it's possible. Okay? Love suffers long. Can you suffer long in a circumstance without faith? I mean, some of us have a high tolerance of pain. Some of us have a low tolerance of pain, right? Some of us can take a little bit more pain maybe than someone else, but what's it saying here? It's saying that it suffers long. That's going to have to be by faith. Love is kind. Love doesn't envy. Now, don't raise your hands, all right? But we've all been tempted to envy. But did you know that it's by faith you resist that temptation? You know, when Jesus was tempted, what was his response? He didn't say, Satan, you shouldn't do that. He just said, it is written. He simply responded in faith. He spoke what God's word said, and he was able to overcome temptation. Love does not vaunt itself. Love is not puffed up. See, this is how, and How love carries itself is how faith should carry itself. We shouldn't brag about our faith. If you're going to brag about something, brag about God. Brag in how his strength makes your weakness perfect. How he completes your weakness. Okay? Look at verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, and love, or charity, these three, but the greatest of these is what? Love. Love trumps faith. Listen, if you've got a problem loving people and loving God, you're going to have a problem in faith. You're going to have a problem believing God for the things that you need, want, and desire. Because faith works by love. It's like your car. You cannot put water in your gas tank and expect to get to work tomorrow. Right? Why? Your engine was not designed to run on water. You've got to put what in the engine? You got to put gas in the engine because your engine was specifically built to run on gas. Guess what? Your faith was specifically built to run on love. And you got to put love in your love tank. You got to fall in love with Jesus. You got to fall in love with people. Amen? You got to fall in love with the good, the bad, and the ugly. Did Jesus love the world or not? For God so loved the world. Is the world made up of the good, the bad, and the ugly? But what did God do? He loved them anyway. And how did he show us his love? He gave us his only begotten Son. He died for us on a cross. He took our sin, took our pain, took our punishment, took our sickness. He did that because of love. See, love is a choice and love is action. If you say you love someone, then act accordingly. Go to chapter 16. Chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. It says, watch, you stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all your things be done with love. Listen, if you want to stand fast in faith, you're going to have to do all things in love because they work together. It's like the gas in your engine. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 6. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision, but your faith which works by love. So what's really going to matter in life? What's going to matter in life is how your faith works by love. See, love is the motivation. Love is the reason why. You're here tonight, hopefully because you love God. It has to be, you have to have a relationship with God, and you have to want to be with God and be with God's people. You're here tonight because you love God and you love his people. You know, there is... God pours out special anointing when the body comes together. Yes, he anoints individuals, but a special anointing comes upon us when we come together. When did you know that we can pull our faith together? If two or more agree as touching anything on earth, that thing shall be done. You can pull your faith together. Like it's like pulling resources together. You can pull your faith together. And when you have two or more in agreement, things happen. It causes God to move on your behalf. It causes circumstances to change. When Peter was put in prison, the church came together. Because they loved Peter. And they loved God, and when they came together, they prayed, and what happened? God sent an angel to Peter's prison and caused him to escape. That's the power So your faith is shaped by your love. If you've got if your love is out of joint, then your faith isn't going to work properly. If your love is out of joint, you're going to go down the road sputtering. Your car's going to be missing. It's not going to run right. It's not going to have the power. Your faith is going to be ineffective if your love is ineffective. Faith shapes your life through love, because faith works by love. Let's see one more. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 to 8. Look at this. Timothy went to check out what was happening in these churches, and it said, "But now when Timothy came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and love, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord." Can you see how faith and love are working together? Timothy brought a report of their faith and love. Man, I'll tell you what, when you mix faith and love together, you have a positive chemical reaction. It's like if you want to put out a fire, grab the fire extinguisher and pull the trigger, because what's in the fire extinguisher can put out the fires. Right? When you put love and faith in your tank, it makes you a powerful force. Go with me to Mark 11:22. Faith is trusting in and believing in God wholeheartedly. Did you know that just like you can't sit on nothing? How many's ever tried to sit down on nothing? You fall down, don't you? Or if you go to sit down in a chair and someone pulls that chair away, right? They're playing a joke on you. You fall down to the ground. Just like you can't sit on nothing, your faith cannot be in nothing either. Your faith has to be in something. So what do you put your faith in? You know, it amazes me. I heard a testimony a couple weeks ago, and the person was testifying how they were going through a bad time, but the positive note was how many people were praying for them. Now, should we have faith? This is not a trick question, but should we have faith in the number of people praying for us? No. Because first of all, how do you know what each one is praying? If you have 100 people praying for you, how do you know what they're praying? We can't have faith in the number of people praying for us, so where does our faith need to be? Our faith needs to be in God alone. And so Mark 11:22. He says it very clearly. Jesus answering and said unto them, "Have faith in God." You know what? It's great that 100 people are praying for you. That's good. But your faith needs to be in God, not the number of people that are praying for you. Because you don't know what they're praying, so that's an unknown. All right? Your faith has to be in what God said. Your faith has to be in His word, His nature, His character, His ability. It can't be in anything else. Your faith has to be in God alone. You can't have faith in this, faith in that, and faith in God. Second Chronicles 20:20, you don't have to turn there, but if they put it up on the screen, it says, "Believe in the Lord and you will be established. Believe in his prophets and you will be successful, or you will prosper. 2 Chronicles 20:20. Have faith in God. And if you're having faith in the prophets, it's the prophets that are written in the book. All right? Because did you know if you can encounter a false prophet? So you got to make sure that the prophet is in line with the book. All right? Go to Psalm 62:8. Psalm 62:8. See, faith shapes your life. Faith shapes who you are, what you do. God wants us to live by our faith. He wants us to live by what he said, to be governed by what he said. He wants our bodies, our actions, our words, our thoughts to be in line with his word, to let the word govern those things by the Holy Spirit. I like this verse. This is really an awesome verse. Psalm 62:8. Trust in him. Hopefully your Bible capitalizes him. How often? At all times. You people pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. A refuge is a safe place. But I like to trust in him at all times. When you're feeling good, when you're feeling bad, you've got to trust in him. No matter what the circumstance, you got to trust in him. Okay? I mean, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're not going to face bad circumstances. I mean, after all, the most perfect person who committed no sin on the earth was nailed to a cross. Daniel, who did nothing wrong but prayed, was thrown into a den of lions. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who simply refused to bow to the golden statue of Nebuchadnezzar, was thrown into a fiery furnace. So if they experienced trials, guess what? You and I are going to experience trials too. But trust in him at all times. Trust him before the fire. Trust him when you get thrown into the fire. And trust him when you get out of the fire. You don't stop trusting him. Well, I know so-and-so. He trusted God and he died. Is that a bad way to die? I mean, if you die in faith, that's not a bad thing. Because if you die in faith, where are you going? You're going to heaven. Stephen, not this Stephen, but Stephen of Acts, he was the first martyr of the new church. He died because he was stoned to death, but he died in faith. Matter of fact, because of the stance that he took, Jesus was giving him a standing ovation in heaven. So you trust in him. Put your faith in God. Put your faith in his word. Don't put your faith in your feelings. Your feelings are like a roller coaster at Hershey Park. They can change directions and heights in a matter of seconds. They can cause you to spin. Right? So you don't want to put your faith in your feelings. You got to put your faith in the word. So no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're dealing with, ask yourself, what does the word say about it? Amen. And that's what you put your faith in. Okay? Can't put your faith. You got to put your faith in something that's steadfast, that's sure, that's unchanging, that never lies. The only thing that those words describe is the word of God. John 14:1. Jesus told his disciples, he said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust in me also. Amen. What was Jesus? He was something made something. He was the Word made flesh. Okay? So Jesus was basically the Word of God in an earth suit. All right? He was the embodiment of the Word. He had a divine incarnation, okay? So whenever Jesus spoke, it was the Word talking. Whenever Jesus walked, it was the Word walking. Whenever Jesus touched, it was the word touching. Okay? And how many know whatever the word says is? Right? When he showed up at the tomb of Lazarus, he set the stage. He said, look, I am the resurrection and the life. They were facing death. Someone had just died. He was a friend of Jesus. Jesus spent time in his house, and he just died. And he walks, and the word comes here. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. And the word stands in front of the tomb, and the word says, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus, you know, he made his way out of the tomb because the word commanded him to do it. I'm just saying that to say that your faith has to be in God. You know, Jesus told, he told Mary and Martha, he said, he who believes in me will live. Go to John chapter 12. John 12 and verse 44. John 12 and verse 44. Jesus cried and said, he that believes on me believes not on me, but on him that sent me. Who sent Jesus? God. If you have your faith in Jesus, then you have your faith in God, right? And he that sees me sees him that sent me. So your faith has to be in Jesus. Your faith has to be in his word. It can't be in anything else. Your faith has to be on a solid foundation. It has to be in something. And the something that it has to be in is the word of God. When it says live by faith, you're living by what the word says for you to do. You live by how the word says to treat people, how to be a good employee, how to be a good husband, how to be a good wife, how to be a good son, how to be a good daughter. It's all in the word. And the word was written so we could actually put it into practice in our lives, because the just shall live by faith. Because faith shapes your life. Everything that we do when we come to Christ, we got to do it in faith. You know, Jesus even said, if we don't do things that aren't in faith, it's sin. Without faith, you can't please God. So when we do something not in faith, we are not pleasing God in that moment. But faith shapes your life. When Peter and John encountered the man at the gate beautiful, and he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give you, arise and walk. That man walked, but then the people wanted to worship them. And they said this miracle was done by faith in his name. They did it because they believed that the name of Jesus, when you speak the name of Jesus, it releases the power of God. And when the power of God is released, it doesn't matter what the circumstance, that circumstance changes. And they walked up to that gate. They saw that man. Everything they did was by faith. And look, it produced the results that they wanted to produce. So you've come here tonight to get a faith lift. Okay? If you're taking notes, write down F-A-I-T-H. I wrote down three things that faith, I love acronyms, I guess. Number one, faith is focused attitude imitating the Holy One. I thought that was pretty cool. It's a focused attitude imitating the Holy One, F-A-I-T-H. I like that one a lot. Another one is faith is fearless action invoking truth here. Fearless action invoking truth here. How many know faith is for here? Okay? And then finally, faith is fearless action in trusting Him. Fearless action in trusting Him. Because I felt like I needed to kind of give you a dose of what faith is in those three statements. So number one, It's focused attitude imitating the Holy One. Number two, it's fearless action invoking truth here. And number three, faith is fearless action in trusting Him. So what do you need God to do in your life right now in this moment? What challenges are you facing? What difficulties are you facing? What do you lack? I want to tell you something. God's got answers to every one of those questions. His word works for every situation. If you need healing in your body, faith will heal you. We talked about how faith makes you whole. If you're hungry for more of God, faith will fill your soul. He'll satisfy your mouth with good things. I want you to get a faith lift tonight. I want you to be encouraged in faith. I want you to strive. I want you to get out of here like you're like a racehorse at the gate. And you're just ready. And once you hear that gun, you're ready to take off running with full stride in faith. Amen? So if you need something tonight, I want you to put your faith to what you need. I want you just to take just a brief moment. I want you to worship God, and I want you to think about what God says about your situation. What does God say about healing? What does God say about provision? What does God say about joy? What does God say about strength? Okay? And let's just take a moment, and I want you to stand up, and I just want you to worship the Lord. And then if you need prayer, I just want to invite you to come up tonight and receive prayer. Amen? Because how many know it's the power of the Holy Ghost that activates faith? Amen. And so I believe that when I lay hands on you, the power of God is just going to mix with your faith, and God is going to cause the miraculous to happen. So whatever you need in your life, Father, we give you thanks and praise that you are the source of all good things in our life. And we honor and bless you and praise you tonight. And we thank you, Father, that we can have faith in you, because you're a faithful God. You're a good God. You loved us. You're here to lift us up. You're here to strengthen us. Oh, hallelujah. Father, we give you thanks and praise that miracles are going to happen tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the power of God that's going to be released. We thank you, Lord, that we're going to be lifted up and edified and strengthened in Jesus' name. And Lord, we're ready to face any challenge in life. And if you need prayer, I just want you to come up real quick. We're going to make this quick. I believe that God can do a quick work at times. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Our God is good. And if you just feel like you need prayer, just come on up. Hallelujah. What do you need God to do for you? You are everything you've promised. Father, I give you thanks and praise right now that He is bold as a lion. In the name of Jesus, Lord, may boldness infuse His mind, His body, and His heart, Father. May He have strength to stand up tall and to rise up when challenges occur in the name of Jesus, and to stand on the Word of God and not to bend and not to compromise, but to believe in the name of Jesus. Say this, say, I believe that I am bold as a lion in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You've got to do for us. You know, He said, when any of you lack wisdom, He said, let him ask of me, and I will give liberally, but let him ask in faith. So, Father, right now, we thank you, Lord, that you impart wisdom to us to take care of these issues of life. And I thank you, Lord, that he'll have divine wisdom.